Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's get the show on the road. Welcome to Ask Me Anything. I'm Coach MJ, head coach here at No BS. If you don't know me, I'm gonna let everybody get in here for a minute. Lisa will be coming on with us shortly. She is going to, usually it's me and Kathy. It's not Kathy today. Kathy is on vacation. And so the amazing Lisa will be with us today. I'm going to promote her to panelists. Make sure that you have your chat set to everyone, not just panelists and hosts. Like I said, it is Ask Me Anything. So you can literally ask me anything and I will answer it. But I am going to talk a little bit because we have seen three or four posts in Facebook about pictures. So I know this month's focus is on nighttime eating here at No BS. We're doing the nighttime eating reset, which is amazing. Not nighttime, emotional eating reset this month. The nighttime was last month. But the good thing about moving this Q&A to a true Q&A is if we see something going on in the membership, we can talk about it a little bit. So I know a lot of y'all are going on vacations. You're going to be taking pictures. I've seen a lot of like weddings and graduations and photos and all of those things. So I want to make sure that we talk about it just for a few minutes. I even typed up notes. That's what I'm telling y'all. I typed up notes. And Lisa, I put the notes in your Slack channel so you can copy and paste some stuff. I know y'all, I worked on an Excel spreadsheet yesterday. I built out something for us to track how the coaches are going to take care of you. I'm like, who is this person? I don't even know her. I'm so excited. I do love y'all, Catherine. I know. I just feel so damn organized. I can't even believe myself. So that is very unlike me. If you've ever worked with me, you know I am not an organized person at all. So when I was looking at these photo posts, and we've been talking about it as a team about pictures and how people look and how people look at themselves in pictures. I decided that, I was a physical therapist by trade before I was a life coach. So I was like, I don't even like my pictures. I look weird in them. I don't see what I see when I look in the mirror. So I was like, we can't all be crazy. It can't all be perimenopause. Got to be something to it. So I went the scientific route first to figure out why do we not like our pictures? Why do we have such a problem? We look at the pictures, we're like, do I really look like that? I don't understand. I don't know. So there are reasons. So thought work is important. Listen, we got to work on our thoughts about what we see in the picture, but I want to give us a little bit of like a framing of why this why this happens. And so, number one, when you look at yourself in the mirror, like when we look at ourselves in the mirror, you see a mirror image. What makes sense, right? Because it's a mirror. And but when you look at pictures, it's you flip-flopped, right? So it's not a mirror image, it's a flipped image. Well, really, the mirror image is flipped because this is my right, this is my left, whatever. Because I have my Zoom set to mirror image. Because when I don't, when I have Zoom set, the settings to flip me like a picture flips me, I can't stand to look at myself all day long. And so we are not used to seeing ourselves in that picture form. It's backwards than what we look like. And it is called let me see. Yep. So we think we look, oh, it's called the exposure effect. It's what it, there's an actual name for it, y'all. So what happens is we get familiar because we look in the mirror all the time. So we're very, very familiar with how we look. That's what we're comfortable with. That's what we know. That's the image of us that we know. And so when we see a picture of ourselves and it is flipped, something does look different. It looks off to us. It is not a familiar look for us because we don't see ourselves that way very often. We only see ourselves like that in a photo. So when you have like a vision of what you look like in your head, and then when you see a picture, it's flipped. So that is why it looks odd to us. That is why it looks strange. That's why our faces, our bodies don't look exactly the same. And our brains love to, see what is familiar to it. So when we look at a picture, it looks off. And it is very true that it does look different, which is why our brains go to, I don't really look like that, because that's not what we're used to seeing. So that's crazy, right? So I was like, well, that makes sense. The other thing is, I looked up, depending on shutter speed and all different kinds of stuff with your camera, the photo that you see of yourself is a fraction of a second. It can be as much as 1/1000th of a second. What? It's just like a blip, like quicker than your can snap your finger. And so if you think about it, like especially if you're outside, if you're at a graduation, if you're on the beach or you're at a party outside, the sun could have just come from behind a cloud and you're starting to squint. And then that's the moment that they capture the picture. Or you're on an exhale and your shoulders typically round a little bit more when you're starting an ex when you're in an exhale of your breath. It could have been partial blink, even like the beginning of a blink. Right. And so it's just a very split second of like a frame of a second of a moment. So there are so many reasons, so many different ways that, we could be captured in that moment. And then I don't know if y'all know this or not, but my mother was a makeup artist and a hairdresser back in the day. So she used to do makeup for television. She was very popular at what she did. So she used to take me to photo shoots all the time whenever I was a little girl. And I remember the photographers always saying, because I'd be like, why are y'all taking all these pictures? So the photographers used to always say, for every 100 pictures we take, we want to get one, maybe two good pictures. Now, that is inside with lighting and a backdrop and a professional photographer. They are hopeful to get one or two out of 100 photos. So that is how hard it is to capture the perfect 1/1000th of a second. So there are so many reasons that your photo is not exactly what you want it to look like. So there's that. So let's get into the thought work. So when you see a photo of yourself, the very first thing you're going to do is you're going to hear your own inner critic. That is what we always do to ourselves. It's a voice. Y'all know it. Y'all have heard it. An inner critic. The first thing you're going to do is look for flaws. Why do we do that? Because your brain's job is to keep you safe. Your brain wants to find sameness with other people around you so that you will be accepted into the tribe. You'll be accepted into the group. That is the way we are hardwired. So the first thing you're gonna do is look for ways that you don't fit in, because it's your brain's job. It wants to keep you safe. So when you hear that voice, that is totally normal. That is what we have done for thousands of years and will continue to do. So those thoughts will come up first. And because we've been that way for so long, they sound very loud. It's the only thing we've ever practiced. We're going to go back to last month, ping ponging. You hear the inner critic. Now it's your job to retrain yourself what you want to think in the moment. Okay? Keep looking at the picture that you don't like of yourself. And just take a deep breath. Here's your new thought. I know I keep thinking this, but I'm open to the possibility that maybe I'm wrong about it. I know I'm supposed to point out every flaw that I have. This is also a picture that is flipped from what looks normal to me. So it makes sense I would think this, but maybe I'm wrong about it. And then finally, you want to keep looking. The one thing that I've seen across the board is you want to keep looking at pictures of yourself, like almost like exposure therapy, right? So that you get used to that flipped image of yourself, and you also give yourself a chance to practice silencing that inner critic. And it's going to come up. What you want to do is make it softer, make that voice softer, so that it is easier to flip that thought. So, I've got some thoughts to practice and some possible journal prompts. Okay. A photo captures a moment, not an event. And it ain't even a moment, it's a fraction of a second. That is a fraction of a second of the experience that you're having. That's all it is. This photo isn't a verdict, it's a memory. I love that one, y'all. It's not a verdict, it's a memory. This is what love looked like that day. Think about if you're going to a wedding or a graduation or something. This is what love looked like that day. I showed up, I enjoyed it. I got to be a part of this amazing event with all of these people that I care about. Like, how awesome is that? And then photos are for remembering my life, not passing judgment. So when you go back 5, 10 years from now and you look at that picture, you're going back to look at that picture, not to pick apart yourself, but to remember the experience that you had, to bring back moments of that memory that maybe you forgot about. That is why you want to capture those moments. Not to go back 5 years from now and be like, God dang, what was I thinking? That hair. Ooh. No, you go back and you look and you're like, oh God, I remember that day. That was such a good day. That's what we take the pictures for. So, journal prompts. What was happening that day? You know, look at the picture and ask yourself, what was going on that day? Describe the moment. Who were you with? What were you celebrating? What was going on? What would I say to a friend I love if this was their photo? Which y'all know I use my kids all the time. If this was my daughter, what would I say to her? If this was a friend that I truly loved and I saw that picture, what would I say? Those are the thoughts that you want to practice for yourself. Because a lot of times it's hard to pull ourselves out of being our inner critic. But it's easier if we are like, okay, if this was my friend, what would I say? If this was my daughter, what would I say? If this was my niece, what would I say? What do I think this photo says about me? That's a good one. And is it really true? Because you could look at the picture and be like, I've gained so much weight. I look so tired. You know, I look bloated, whatever it is. Could this photo also be saying, look at how I showed up. Look how happy I was. I was being so supportive that day. I'm so glad I got to be a part of that. I'm so glad I showed up for that. Because it says a lot about what you look like, but it also says a lot about the person you are, that you were brave enough to get in front of the camera and that you went to be a part of this special event. It says there's a lot more about, it says a lot more about the person you are than the per than what you look like. Where do I see love in this photo? I love that question. It could be your smile. It could be the people that you were with. It could be in your eyes. Where do you see love in this photo? This is my favorite question. What am I afraid people will think when they see this picture? So now we're going to play in somebody else's head. What do I think people are going to say when they look at this photo? Then you're going to say, could this just be my own inner critic? Are these actually the thoughts that I'm thinking about myself? I love that question so much. Because a lot of times when we think people are going to think ugly of us, if we really look at it, it's actually those thoughts that we have about ourselves. What's one thing I can appreciate about this photo? This is also very good. It could be the color that you were in. It could be the outfit that you have on. It could be something in the background that you see. It could be the people that you're with. So, what's one thing I can appreciate about this photo? And what memories would I miss out on if I avoided photos? That's such a good question because really, that's the whole point of the photo, is to go back and remember what was going on that day. And what do I want this photo to help me remember? What do I want to remember at the end of the day? Is it the connection? Is it the event? Is it the people that I was with? Because I'm going to tell you, my grandma was gone and stuff. I wish I had more pictures of her. I've got several amazing pictures of her, and I wish I had more because she's gone now. And I wish I had those, and I don't. And so, I mean, I know I could probably have a lot more memories if I had taken more photos of her because some of those memories get lost without the photo. It's not all about completely flipping the script on what you look like. We are not going to go from, I hate my picture to, God, I look amazing. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to shift our focus to what is really important when you take a photo. What is the most important thing? It's the memory, it's the people, it's the event, it's the love that you felt in the moment, it's the connection you felt in the moment. That is what is most important about the photo. So, anyway, that's my little photo, little mini typed up class, y'all. That's amazing. Typed. That's how important it was. There was one, I'll have to see if I can, Lisa, if you could find that link to one of those, there was a post in Facebook the other day, and it was this one lady. She had on a red dress. She was standing with a group of people at some kind of an event. She took a picture, and seriously, y'all, it was two pictures. She put them side by side. Same day, same outfit, same people, same event. It like two different people. And it was because it was 1/1000th of a second. And then a little later, another 1/1000th of a second. And she posted it to say, like, this is the difference of two pictures. Same day, same event, same outfit. And then look, like, how different. And she did. She looked so different in both of them. It could have been three, days apart, but it was the same day. So take the picture, create the memory, and then you get to work on the story that you tell yourself about that photo. You can focus on yourself or you can focus on the experience. All right. There you go. Oh, Lisa found it. Yay. It was very, very good. And I will put these journal prompts in the description of this call. That's what I'll be doing. So I'll do that for y'all. All right. So, all right. Anonymous, we'll get to the questions now. I'm just going to answer questions. When something comes up in the membership and we see three or four posts at a time, and we know we're moving into photo season, we're in the height of it. And a lot of y'all are going to be photos in, bathing suits and all that other kind of stuff. So now is the time that you want to work on that. But that really is one reason we wanted to switch this call to ask me anything. Because if we do see something in the membership and we want to address it, we want to bring it up because we know so many of you are talking about it, we wanted the freedom to do that. We didn't want to be tied into, we have to talk about this thing and it's on the calendar and whatnot. And so, because we want to make sure we're giving you what you need the moment you need it. We're not waiting, to be like, oh, well, everybody's talking about photos. How about 3 months from now we have a class? No, we're not doing that. We're gonna do it today when y'all are talking about it, when y'all are struggling with it, when we're moving into the season of taking pictures. We're not making y'all wait on crap when you need it in a moment. Cause, that's how we roll. That's how we balling up here at No BS. All right, going on vacation. How do I drink all my water while worrying about finding places to pee? You'll be hiking. Well, you'll be in the woods. I can't pee in the woods. My friends say I have a shy bladder. They say I have a shy bladder. And I do. I don't like it. But anyway, lots of people pee in the woods. They just do. I can't. I have a shy bladder. Oh, see the. Oh, I know I can nature pee. She followed up. Thank you, Lisa. But I'm in my 50s and my pee stream is white, so I'll pee all over my shoes. Girl, I hear you. They do sell something for that. It's called like a something Jane. Anybody know? Where are my hiking people at? You can do that. But here's the thing. Same thing for school teachers, right? Same principle applies to everything in life. So if you are going to be, if you're a school teacher and you don't have access to a bathroom, or you're a nurse and you have to work on the floor and you don't really get a chance to go to the bathroom, you're gonna, Lady J, a shiwi, a pee funnel. Look, you can, I bet they have it on Amazon. You could totally get that. A sheeness. There you go. I know they have them out there. You can front load your water. So you want to drink a good bit of water and then stop to give yourself the opportunity to pee. Then you go hike and then you just sip water along. Then you pee right at the trailhead. And then you backload the end of your day. Once you come off of your hike, then you guzzle water at the end. That's what teachers and everybody else has to do. So the minute you wake up, you could get a bottle of water down, like 16 ounces of water. You just knock that out. Then you go hike, and maybe on the duration of the hike, you get 16 more ounces over the course of some time. And then you just need two more bottles, right? Yeah. Yes, just two more. Look at me mathing. Not only did I type up a sheet, I just did math in my head. And you're welcome. You're welcome. So then on the way back to the hotel after the hike or to your house, you drink 16 ounces. And then when you get there or the rest of the evening, you drink the other 16. Water's done. Water is done. So that is the best way to do it. Let's see. I have a question about emotional eating. This is Bess. I know which, wait a minute, get which emotions I'm eating over after I've eating. How do I move to recognizing this before I eat so that I don't eat? I love this. Okay, so Bess, I don't know if you're new or you've been here for a minute, but if you are, once you go through the No BS weight loss course, you can go to the nighttime eating. We did that last month and we talked about the three golden moments, okay, of overeating. So for any of you, I'll catch you up to speed. So there are three moments that we catch overeats. The first one that we typically identify first is you recognize after you eat. So that's why you want to do. Like you want to think about it, like, why was I eating? What else did I need in this moment? What could have been going on for me? All of those other things. Then you start to see your patterns because you already said you know the emotions that you eat over. So once you identify it afterwards, you'll move into being able to like be in the middle of it. That's the second golden moment. The second golden moment is you're like, you're eating, and then you're like, girl. You eating because you angry again. You know you've been doing that a good bit, and you catch yourself in the middle, and then you put your food down in the middle. And then you can move into identifying the emotion and then not eating over it. But that takes some time. So you're in the, you're in the phase of so you've identified it, the emotion that you typically eat over, and you're very aware of it. So the more that you keep reminding yourself of that emotion that you eat over, the more you'll be triggered on in the middle of it. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it again. Oh, shoot. I can go ahead. Now's just as good a time as any to stop. And then you'll start putting your food down in the middle. So you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Everybody kind of has to move through those golden moments. And it is very powerful to know that it's normal. This is exactly how it happens, and you'll just kind of move through the process. Sylvia in the Pacific Northwest. You know, I was just out that way in Seattle not long ago, outside of Seattle. How do I know if overeats are habits or rooted in an emotion? So a habit eat is the way that you kind of like a habit eat could be always finishing your plate. Or if you like kind of always stop by, you know, you always have like M&Ms or whatever sitting out or cookies. And then you always just kind of, you're like, oh shit, I can't believe I just ate that. So you sort of recognize it as something that you just do over and over again. An emotional eat typically starts in your head with a thought or a feeling. So every time I'm anxious, I just go to the kitchen. It's kind of what calms me down. Emotion could also be like every time that you're starting something new at work and you're kind of procrastinating, you kind of feel that feeling, and then you just always find yourself in the kitchen whenever you're eating over that feeling. But a habit overeat, a lot of times you are in it and you're like, good Lord, I always do this. This is the way I always end up. That's how you know. Let's see. How can I manage my thoughts on one-uppers? So, Tracy, I guess like, you know, you tell a story and then they like one better you. Like, well, I do da 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 da. Right? Like, is that what you're talking about? I guess that's what you mean. I mean, what are your thoughts about them now? What are your thoughts about them now? Because we have to first see what your thoughts are. Are you like, you know, angry with them? Do you like, I mean, what is your thoughts about them now? Put that in the chat or the Q&A. Yeah, put that in the Q&A and we'll come back to that. Mary says, I lost weight a couple of years ago, then life happened. I have not been able to lose more since. I can't make myself do the basics. I'm better with thought work and I'm drinking more water, but life is the hardest it's been lately. I know I can't put off doing the things to take good care of myself. How do I start doing and not just thinking? So, Mary, it sounds like you're looking for motivation. I am sorry, it ain't coming. It's not. Motivation is earned through action. It just is. And I hate that. I wish that I could give you a word. I wish I could preach to you. I wish I could give you like a Corinne easy button that would give you the motivation. But motivation is earned through action. So that's why we often say, you've got to decide what is the easiest thing? What is the not good enough thing? That's the other thing that gets in our way. You probably know exactly what to do. And you're probably like, you know what, MJ, I could do this thing, but it's not good enough. It's not gonna be good enough. I'm gonna have to do all the basics all at one time. I'm gonna have to do it all right now in order to lose this weight. And so we stop ourselves with not good enough thinking. Not good enough gets you no action. Not good enough equals I'm just sitting on the sidelines of my life. That's all it equals. So when you find that not good enough thing, that is the thing you're supposed to be working on right now. I mean, MJ, just asking myself if I'm hungry. Good Lord. I mean, I'm still overeating. I'm still not following my plan. Obviously, just picking one thing is not going to be good enough. Yes, it is. That's a great way to get your foot in the door and start building some of that motivation. Because now is the perfect time to do it, Mary, because I'm going to tell you something. If you look back at your life and you can count up the months in your life that not a damn thing went wrong, that it was just coasting along. The rest of the time, life is lifing. The rest of the time, it's lifing. People get sick. Things don't go right. Your car breaks down. You have trouble at work. You get in an argument with your kids. You're worried about them. They're frustrating you. If you're like me and you're taking care of a mama, she'd be lifing all day, every day. There's a lot going on with her. There's a lot. We're talking about redoing our whole kitchen. That's going to be a clusterfuck. A cluster. It's going to life. So now is the exact time that you want to work on weight loss. Because how many times have we decided to go on a diet and it was just coasting along, and after about 2 weeks, something happened, as it always does. Then we kind of fell off. Building those habits when you've got stuff going on in your life is the best time to build the habits. So here's the thing. I don't know what's going on for you, but the easiest thing to do is wait for hunger. Wait for hunger. It cleans up emotional eating. It cuts down on a lot of eating. It helps you focus on your habit eating, where you're just grabbing things out of habit, even though you're not hungry. That's where you start to build motivation. Nobody has to know. It does not take away time from anything else. As a matter of fact, the less time you spend eating, the more time you've got to deal with whatever it is that's going on. Because you're not sitting down for a snack. We're looking for somewhere to go get a snack. How does that sound, Mary? Like, if you just are like, if I say, wait for hunger, because you're drinking more water, water and hunger go hand in hand. So, more water you drink, because a lot of times hunger is, our bodies will tell us we're hungry when we actually just need more water. So if you've got water, it's going to make following, am I hungry, even easier. And the other thing too is, Mary, I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but private coaching. I mean, that would be a great place to go too. If it's in the budget, private coaching is a great place. Like if you're like, my life is literally a shit show and I cannot get going. Or if that's not in your budget, ask coaches every day. Every day. Go in there. That's what they're there for. Ask coaches is there for a reason. Because you got a coach in your pocket. So here's all the things that got in my way of weight loss today. Help me. Here's the shit I ate over to help me. Mary says that does sound doable. I have noticed when I'm eating. When I'm not hungry. So the next step could be to just wait. Yes. And the emotional eating piece comes up. That's exactly right. Because for a lot of us, I mean, well, a lot of times, emotions drive you to the kitchen. So then you get to clean up that on your way. I love that, Mary. It's perfect. Are we the same? You know, because my first name's Mary. My last name starts with an S, Mary S. It could be me. It's not me, but. Susan said, how much is private coaching? Just go to the web page and you'll see all the information about it. I have gone through some rough time after a divorce and have been called uneducated and poor. It all happened almost a decade back, and I have worked very hard to get educated and earn a good living. However, the comments which were made a decade back still impact me and have a negative effect on my decision-making process. How can I rewrite my story and move beyond what happened years back? Okay. Anonymous, I have done a lot of this work. A lot of this work. So I am the perfect person to answer this. So if you are past your 30 days, if you are on day 31 of membership or more, under courses, you'll see bonus courses and pathways. And we have a relationships course. The good thing about that relation, I've done it. That has been the biggest, that course has been what changed my life the most of all the things in No BS, all of it. So yeah, Christy said I've done it at least twice. Absolutely. So like, I mean, it all started when, I'm not gonna get into a long story about my history, but my mom left me when I was three. She dropped me off. She dropped off. The memory I have is of a red trunk. I had a trunk, you know, like a trunk. With all my shit in it. And my mom took me to my grandmother's house and left me there. And I remember sitting outside on top of that red trunk and my mom driving away. I remember that well. Okay. That relationships course let me go back to rewrite the story of that version of my mom. Why did she do it? What was she going through? All these other things. It, the relationships course really puts everything back on the person, right? It's such a like my dad said some terrible things to me. I wasn't a good daughter. Terrible things. My mom told me one time, if you can't even keep the love of your mother, what does that say about you? What a piece of crap you must be if your own mother doesn't want to be around you. I had to rewrite that. I had to rewrite that because there are several things that were said to me that literally it scarred my heart. Like it changed me, changed who I am. It changed the view that I have of myself. Like at my core. At my core, I am not the person I would have been had it not been for those things. And for a long time, I was very angry about that. But, however, in doing that, I have been able to move to more of a place of gratitude, just rewriting those stories. Because, see, my mom wasn't a good mom. And now, when I was 3 years old and she left me with my mom, with my grandmother, my Susie, my sweet Susie, she gave me the best gift that anybody's ever given me because she gave me my grandmother. Isn't that like best thing she could have ever done? She did me the biggest favor of my life. She gave me my heart, right? And so when I can go back and rewrite those things, and work through it. Because here's the thing, whoever told you that is fucking wrong. Wrong. It's just not right. That when you wrote that, I'm thinking, what a piece of shit. Not you, that person. That's on them. That's on them. That has nothing to do with you. My mom told me one because she said some very hateful things to me. And now that she's gotten older and her memory's going a little tiny bit, now she's getting for real, because she didn't remember any of this. Like she doesn't remember it. She'll say, but I don't remember. Like that makes it better. But she said, I never wanted to fight anybody. I never have punched anybody or slapped anybody. Well, me, but whatever. But she said, I always like to fight with my words. And when somebody hurt my feelings, I would always ask myself, what could cut them so deep that they would never recover? That's my mom telling me that. And when she told me that, I was like, oh my God, seriously? That was her. It was never me. So I have had the benefit of insight now. But I was like, that was her. It was always her. It was never me. It was never me. It was always her. Because those words that somebody says out loud to another human being, that says a lot about them. That says a lot about them. Tells me everything I need to know about that person. And didn't say shit about you. You know what it does tell me? You were very strong because obviously you're not in that situation anymore because you're on the other side of it. You're on the other side of it. So you were able to get away. I know, and I love that, Christy. That's the other thing about work doing this work. The things that were done to me and said to me. Like in my past, I don't excuse her for them. It doesn't make it okay. That's not the goal of working on relationships. It's we take in those words and we make them who we are. And that is not how we want to be. And so we want to take those words and those things that were done to us and put it on the on where it belongs, not on us, on that other person, on that other person. And so it's just a slight shift in perspective is all it is. That was the first thing Corinne coached me on. Corinne's coached me on my mama. I don't know. I don't know. A lot of times, a whole lot of times, a whole lot of times. And it was that's what changed me the most. Because when I found Corinne, I owned all of that. I owned all of it. But for a lot of you that don't even know, my mom tried to kill me. She literally put a pew pew, pointed it at me, loaded, and I had to beg for my life. And now I take care of her. And that, my friends, is thought work. That is thought work. So that is where all of that came from. But that says a lot about that person. It tells me everything I need to know about that person that said that to you. Yeah, it's been a long road for an MJ. Amy says, forgiveness and the grace of God. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Yes, Christy said, and you forgive yourself, not them. I will never forgive her for what she did. I understand it a little bit more. I have a little bit of compassion for where she might have been coming from. And I understand now it was all her and it was never me. It was never me. Teresa says, been dealing with acute neck pain. What's the best tips for not overeating through it? Also, lots of anxiety about the diagnosis. I see the orthopedic specialist tomorrow. Teresa, y'all are hitting all of me today, girl. I'm like all of y'all wrapped up into one. So when I joined No BS, I had just had shoulder surgery. I had rotator cuff surgery on my left. I just had it last year on my right, and then I had a shoulder manipulation. I've had two shoulder surgeries since October. Anyway, I was overeating over my shoulder because I was doing physical therapy, and I would come home and I would eat over it. And this is what we're talking about. This was the golden moment. This is the golden moments. So I would come home from work every day and I would go straight and get a snack. I would get straight and get a snack. And then I'm like, MJ, this is not fixing your shoulder. It is not. You think it's going to make it better and it's just not. So I started writing about it. And then at the bottom of the page, every time I would write about it, I would say, and your shoulder still fucking hurts. So I was like, and I probably did that 30 or 40 times. And your shoulder still fucking hurts. I actually even put, and your shoulder still fucking hurts on my vision board. Like that's how prevalent it was. I was eating over it all the time. Then what happened? After I kept eating over it and I kept reminding myself, your shoulder still hurts. It's not better. One day I came home and I went to the thing, to the cabinet where my snacks are, and I picked up the chips or whatever it was, and I looked and I said, your shoulder's still gonna fucking hurt. And I put it right back. But it took me about 30 or 40 times of eating over. That's what I'm telling y'all. You keep saying, like, and I'm not saying this is you, Teresa, but for so many people, that's what we see all the time in No BS. That's why patience is the fifth basic, y'all. We don't talk about it, but that's what it is. Every time I was sick, I had a headache. I skinned my knee. What did my people do? Oh, let me go get you some ice cream. Ice cream's gonna make it feel better. You want to stop by McDonald's and get a burger? That'll make you feel better. So, of course, I went straight to the pantry. It's the only thing I knew. Every time I was hurt, I got fed. Every time I had discomfort, somebody would give me something to eat. So, whenever I had shoulder pain, what did I think the answer was? The only answer I had ever had, food. Same with all of us, so many of us. So many of us are that way. And so when I had to keep reminding myself, and your shoulder still fucking hurts, I wrote it all the time. It was on my vision board, it was everywhere until I finally was able to catch myself. And I'm like, you trying to go over here to fix your shoulder pain? It's still gonna fucking hurt. And I put it back. And then when I started having pain on my left shoulder, I knew what was gonna happen. And when my shoulder started to hurt, my urges to eat ramped up. Even though I had worked with it over here, but it had been seven years. So I started writing every day, food at the top of my planner. Food will not fix your shoulder. And I was able to head it off because I knew what my pitfall was going to be because I'd already worked through it with my left shoulder. And then when I noticed the urges come up, I'm like, girl, I know where this is coming from. I know where this is coming from. And then every day I would write, food will not fix your shoulder. Food will not fix your shoulder. And then I didn't eat over my left shoulder. I mean, my right shoulder. I sure as shit ate over my left shoulder. But that's exactly how it works. You just have to keep reminding yourself. And the pattern to eat when you are in pain, y'all, that is deeply rooted in us. Like, that is like all we've ever known. You got one tool. And when you're in pain, you want to get out of it fast. So you go grab the only tool that you've ever been given. And it's never worked, but you're like, I ain't got no, I'm gonna try everything. I'm gonna throw everything at it. How do I stop looking for outside affirmation? Love it. Like you look pretty, et cetera, for my husband and family. I'm usually in sweats and a t-shirt and scrubs. When I dress up, I'm waiting for husband or family to say something nice, so I don't think it's about my weight. You have to give it to yourself. You have to give it to yourself. You have to. You just have. My husband is terrible about it. So every once in a while, like I'll get dressed up and I'll think I look good. I'm like, don't I look pretty? And he was like, yeah, you look good. Like, I'll get it from you. If you don't want to give it to me, I'll take it. I am not above fishing for compliments. But the thing of the matter is, Maria, have you ever told your husband, I love it when you tell me I look pretty. Could you do that a little bit more? Because the way you've got it set up right now is you've got a worksheet, a husband checklist, and you created it. It's a PDF and it lives in your brain. And you don't share it. Nobody's got a copy of it. Nobody. Lives in Maria's head. Maria is like, if my husband loved me, or if he thought I was pretty or whatever, he would say these things or he would do these things. Now, I'm not going to tell him what those things are. I'm not going to tell him. He's going to have to figure that out on his own. And then when he can't figure it out on his own, then we get hurt because they don't know the rules that we've made up for them in our head. And it's like we call it in life coach school, it's called the manual. Well, Maria, I always tell him he looks nice. And is he supposed to read between the lines? I tell you, you look. So I'm going to demonstrate what I want from you. I'm not going to tell you that's what I'm doing. I'm just going to tell you, you look nice. You're supposed to read my mind and know I want it said back. There you go. He don't know. He does not know you're modeling the behavior for him. You got to tell him. And whether or not he complies doesn't even matter because you have to remind yourself of who you are. Because a lot of times we're looking for somebody to tell us something. We're just missing those things, and we can do it for ourselves. So that's the other thing. And one other really interesting, and it doesn't matter what people say too. I want to just say that. Cause one time we were at the, I always remember this. We were at Publix, my daughter and I, my youngest child. And some lady stopped her at the Publix. She got this beautiful, you know, my husband's from Iran, so I got these beautiful Persian children. and long, beautiful, dark hair. And this lady was like, "Oh my gosh, your hair is gorgeous." She was talking to my daughter. And we walked around Publix. We walked around for another, she probably didn't even remember this, but we were a few rows over. And my daughter said, "That was so nice of her. Talk about, tell me how good my hair looks." And I said, "Do you know, this is the problem of having a life coach for a mother. Do you know why you thought that was so nice?" And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because you believe your hair looks nice. Because if she thought her hair looked like shit, or she hated her hair, and the lady said, because it is all about our thoughts, right? Your hair looks nice. She didn't mean it. She probably thinks it looks like shit. I know it looks like shit." It was her thought that made Mina believe it was a compliment. If she didn't like her hair, she would have really thought that lady's blowing smoke up my ass. She's making fun of me. She didn't really like my hair. Or she must need glasses. We can all see my hair looks like shit. That would have been her thoughts. But her thought was, "I love my hair." That was so nice of her to notice my hair. Because it all goes back to our thoughts. It is, in fact, not the words that come out of the people's faces. It is the lens at which we see those words and the way we accept those words. Our brain, Christy, girl, you on fire today. Our brain looks for proof of what we think. Yes. Let's see. Susan says, "I need help pausing." Oh, I'm not gonna let this go. I'll come back to you, Susan. G Money, I'm in a stage right now where I don't believe I look good. I love this so much. So telling myself falls flat when my husband says that I do believe them. Okay, so here's the thing, G Money. You're wanting to go from, "I don't like the way I look, I don't know, I'm dumpy." I don't know what your thoughts are about yourself. And you're trying to be like, "No, you look really good." That's why it falls flat. So Betsy, Coach Betsy, I have always, like, one time she said this and it has so stuck with me, even though I'm not a rock climber, but we've all seen people rock climbing and they've got that grappling hook and they throw the hook and then they get an anchor, right? And then they can climb up to that, right? They can climb up to that next level. And then they take the grappling hook and they throw it again and then whatever. So what you've done is with your compliment, the compliment you're trying to give yourself, you're throwing that grappling hook and it's just out of reach. So you can't quite get there because it doesn't make sense to you, right? Because it's too far off, right? And so what you want to start with is like you want to tell yourself, find one thing you like about yourself. Not, "I look amazing." Like, "I like my lips. I paid a lot of money for these things and I do enjoy my lips." And so whenever I look in the mirror and I'm just not having a kind of a shitty day about myself, I always say, "I'm just so glad I invested in these suckers because I do love the way that my lips look." I've always loved my eye color. It's blue. I like it. Super easy for me to say to myself, I love my blue eyes. And I love these lips from whence I have paid for. So you got to find something that you can get your hook on. Something that you can get your hook on. Other thing could be my eye colors. That's good. That's good. The other thing that you could do is look for evidence. So my husband's still married to me. He said, you know, he thought I was good looking enough to marry. He's still here. He hasn't left. I might be wrong about the things I tell myself about me. Look, that's a little short. Like, you can go sink your hook into that. I know I'm my own worst inner critic, and I know the only thing I do is point out my flaws. I know there has to be something about the way I look that that resonate with people or whatever it is. You don't, it's going to be too far of a stretch to go from, "I can't stand the way I look. I don't like myself, blah, blah, blah," to, "I'm lovely and amazing. My eyes are doo-doo brown, but I love them." See? Not a terrible thought. But not like so far that you can't get your hook in it. So if you ever find a thought, you're trying to practice a thought. Thoughts are like shoes. They're like shoes, y'all. Just because I love the Nordstrom Rack shoe section. And I go, they have a whole, I wear a size 10. They have a whole wall of size 10s. I try one pair on, it doesn't feel great. That doesn't mean that all the shoes aren't going to feel great. That means those are not my shoes. I need to try on a different pair of shoes. Same thing with thoughts. You try them on like a pair of shoes. Not all of them are going to be comfortable. And if you find a thought that is not landing with you, that ain't your thought. You have to go get another thought. And you got to try that thought on. And if it's not believable or you don't feel like you can hang on to it or it falls flat, that ain't your thought either. You got to keep finding until you find a thought that fits. Like Cinderella and her slipper. Let's see. Susan, I'm back with you. I need help pausing to feel my feelings. The urges come about, and my knee-jerk reaction is to answer the urge by eating. Later, I regret that I didn't pause. Any tips for this? Yes, if you know that it comes at a certain time, set that up for success. So before you get there, working on an urge and not having a knee-jerk reaction comes when you're not having the urge. Let me say that again. You cannot practice working through urges in the middle of an urge because it feels very urgent. And it is a pattern that is very well practiced. You need to work on it, just like me with my shoulder. So I was, answering the call of my shoulder. And afterwards, I had to write about why I did it. And I had to write about why it was, the thing that I kept telling myself that was going to make my shoulder feel better, why that was not true. Because I just ate an entire bag of, whatever, and my shoulder still hurts. Why might you be wrong? Why might I be eating an error now? I'm going to the only thing I knew. That's when you have to practice that. The other thing, too, is if you're really having a hard time, if you go on the website under coaching and then replays and just type in Kathy in the chat, just Kathy, you'll see those how to feel the hard stuff without eating or whatever it's called. So you want to go on and listen to some of those. She'll give you some tools to use in the moment, but the best time to practice how you're going to work through urges is when you're not in the middle of an urge. Always. Especially if you know the pattern. Like if you know you have urges every night, well, then God bless, they're coming. If the sun is going down, the urge is coming up. And if you know it's always coming, you want to work on that ahead of time. Maybe set some reminders on your phone for when you know that urge is going to come. I know I'm going to have an urge tonight. Here's why. Here's what I want to do instead. And then have that pop up on your phone. Heather says, along with photos, how do you handle body dysmorphia? I have lost 175 pounds, and with all the loose skin, I see myself at my highest weight and think others see the same. Would love any resources that you may have. All of this applies. All of it applies. And then the other thing, too, is you want to just look at yourself more. I know that sounds very counterintuitive, but you want those thoughts to come up so that you can practice working through the thoughts. The more you look at photos or the more that you look at your body, your brain will catch up with the way that you look, and it will also bring up all of those negative thoughts that you're having and give you the opportunity to work through them. The answer is not avoiding. Same thing with no BS. Like you get frustrated, the scale isn't going down, whatever. And instead of facing it head on, you just quit and you get that relief. And we do the same thing with looking at ourselves in the mirror, taking photos of ourselves. But the only way to work through it is to look at it, to identify it, and then get us to help you work through those thoughts. Yeah, and I'm gonna just tell you, Heather, when you what's the name of it? What's the name of it? Whenever you don't it's not dysmorphia, but where it's like it doesn't match up. I can't think of the word. But anyway, there's a word for that. That it just takes a while for your body to get used to the new version of you. Because you were probably overweight for a really long time. And that in your mind, that's what you look like. And so a lot of times when you first lose weight or something like that happens, you're like, oh, cognitive dissonance, Amy for the win. You get a sticker. If I had a sticker, you would win it. Very good. Cognitive dissonance. So that is what happens. And I will tell, I mean, it took me a very long time to get used to what my body looked like, to what it looked like. Leanne, so I'm on the feeling crappy about myself wagon right now. I've been in OBS for a couple of years and I'm still going back and forth with the same 5 pounds. Did you listen to the call the other day? Stop fucking around with the same 5 pounds. It's a good call. Daughter started taking the shots and lost about 100 pounds in record time, and I'm still fighting the same 5 pounds. I'm good with my water and pretty good with sleep. I've been working on hunger and enough, but sometimes emotions get in there. I'm not good at the planning part. I went through the course at least twice, but I'm still here with my 5 pounds. I just need some direction as to what to do. I just don't know. I feel lost and like I'm flailing around. Leanne, I got a couple of things for you. Number one, if you've been here for a couple of years, if you've not gone through the No BS course since January, you need to go back through it because it was brand new in January, whatever. So I want you to do that. The second thing is, if you're not good at planning, I want you to go over to the course and download the quick start guide. For anybody that is not planning, for anybody who does not like planning, I want you to go back to the OBS weight loss course, download the quick start guide. And what they, it's like a beginning tracker. It's not even a plan, it's a tracker. So you write down at the end of the day, what did I eat? You don't plan, here's what I ate. I was hungry. Was I hungry or not when I ate it? Did I stop it enough? Okay. This is what you want to look at. Okay. That's it. So that's your planning, which isn't planning, but it's an assessment. That will get us data because we need strong, solid data. How often are you overeating? How often are you eating when you're not hungry? That's where you're going to tackle these 5 pounds. Yeah, I've been doing the 30-day trial. I love that thing. I swear I do. I just love that thing. So that's what you want to do first. I've been working on hunger and enough. It's at the very top of the page. So if you pull up go to the website, nobswoman.com, go under courses, the No BS Weight Loss course, at the very top of the page, it says download the quick start guide. You can download it. If you don't want the quick start guide, you can just select the pages that have the tracker on it. There's even sample trackers in there and all that other stuff. Because you're saying I've been working on hunger and enough, but sometimes emotions get in there. How often are you emotionally eating? Is it 4 times a day? Is it once a week? How often? And here's what I want you to do, Leanne. I want you to get that data. I see you, Leanne. I want you to get all your shit and email me at support@pnptribe.com or reply to any email and remind me you were on this call. We're gonna figure this shit out. We're gonna figure it out. The tracker is inside the quick start guide. Do you have the link? Lisa, do you have the link? Yeah, I like it a lot. It's so good for members who don't like to plan, but you still want to have the data. I would love for everybody to plan. Planning is so much more than just planning. I mean, it's a contract I made. It was the first opportunity I had to show myself that I was actually gonna take care of myself and keep promises to myself. But yeah, it's at the and it's I love it, but this is a great first step. So all right. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mary. There's the quick start guide. It's on the website under courses, the No BS Weight Loss course. As soon as you pull it up at the very top, it'll say download your quick start guide. All right, y'all. 5 minutes over, but that's okay. I think it was pretty good. All right, y'all. Go be in the pictures. Just be in the damn pictures. Have those memories to look back on. That's what's so important. That's what's the most important. Take the photo, get in the pool with your kids. Like, I don't know. I just wish I could give everybody a light switch for your thoughts. It's the work you have to do. I wish I could give it to you. And I wish I could. The other thing I want to tell y'all is I still have those thoughts. I mean, I think that so many people believe that like you don't have those thoughts anymore. Like they just disappear. And I'll be honest. I mean, I haven't worn a bathing suit in a minute. When I put the bathing suit on for the first few times and I look in the mirror, it's just a hate. It's hateful. And I have to do that work. Even during this call, as I'm talking about the grappling hook, y'all, this is just a fucking day. Don't think I was like, put your fucking arm down in my head on this call. I thought it. While I'm talking to y'all about loving your damn self. And I'm like giving my, in my head, giving myself crap because of my arms. That's crazy. But it's how our brains work. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. But you know what? So I'm doing this with my arm. I'm like, fuck me. And then even at one point I did this, like, look how crepey, y'all. I caught a glimpse of that. I'm like, God damn, MJ. Look at all that, like all these stretch marks. Like, look at all of that. Like, that's my work. That's my work right here. I mean, God Almighty. I look at that. And I'm like, I have a real body. I am a real woman, and I worked very hard for this body. And I will not shit on it. I'm just not. I'm not. This body gave me three beautiful children. This body, you know, gets me up every morning. This body does a lot of shit for me. I'm not going to talk crap about it. I'm not. I'll think crap about it and then I correct myself because that is what normal brains do. So what they do. Because, you know, like, I mean, look, even here, like, this is a hot mess right here. And I could sit here and just pick myself apart. I'm just not. I'm just not. Anybody in the We Do Not Care Club on TikTok or Instagram, just being Melanie, whatever, we do not care. We do not care. Because the only thing we can control, Lord have mercy, here I go again. The only thing we can control is what we tell ourselves about us. I don't give a shit what somebody, if somebody's got thoughts about me in their brain locked up, good. Leave them up there locked up. And I am not going to get hosed up on what somebody else may or may not be thinking about me. And every time I hear, I bet they're thinking XYZ, I'm like, no, that's what you think about you, friend. Let's work on that. That's my indicator light. You need to work on that yourself. It's exactly what you need to be thinking. Because I'm just going to tell you, we got a lot of life left, y'all. We got people that we love that are around us that are waiting for us to be in the picture. They are waiting for us to get out in the yard with them. They are waiting for us to go play with them in the pool. That's what they're waiting on. You have got people that you're going to leave memories with, and you do not want somebody to say, "I, you know what? I loved MJ." I just wish she would have, come hung out with us more. I just wish she would have gotten on the played on the beach with us. I just wish she would have. No, I'm gonna do the thing. I'm gonna leave my people with memories. That's what I'm gonna do. And my grandmother was not my Susie. My Susie didn't weigh 100 pounds, but my other grandmother, my daddy's mama, she was so big, and for a lot of my life. And I don't ever even think about it, y'all. Like, I never think about her. I want you to think about this one lady took care of me when I was little. Her name was Mama Barnes, and she was about as big around as she was tall. But when I think about her, she had the longest, she was Church of God, and she had the longest hair, and she had it up in this beautiful, that's what I think about her. I don't think about how big she was. When you think about somebody in your life that you love who is, larger size, when you think about them, what do you think? You think, God, I loved her, but she was just so big. Or do you think about, she had the kindest eyes. She had the sweetest spirit. I think about Mama Barnes' hair. That's what we remember. And that's what people in your life will remember. They just need you to do this work so that you can be in life with them. All right, y'all. I get all hosed up on this. Yeah. So, all right. I'm so glad it was helpful. We went off on a body image tangent. Sorry I hijacked it, but you know what we got to remember? This is probably backwards. Bitch got goals. Y'all got goals. Not only weight loss goals, but goals to make inside of here be a more pleasant living environment. It's not just physical. We're not just trying to look better, y'all. We are trying to change our damn life. We are trying to speak kinder to ourselves so that we can show those around us how to be kinder to themselves. That is the generational wealth we want to impart on our families. That's what we want. Is the knowledge and the ability to turn those negative thoughts around and feel a little bit better in your body and with your life. That's what we want to give our kids and our grandkids, our friends and our sisters and our nieces. All right, y'all. That's enough. That's enough. Thank y'all very much. I appreciate it. I will talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all. Take the damn pictures, y'all. Get in the picture.